Welcome to the Mompreneur Nation podcast. You found your tribe for all things motherhood and entrepreneurship. Hello.
Hi, friend.
Hi, friend. How are you?
I'm good. I'm good.
I have the coolest friend in the world. Okay, first and foremost, we need to go over how we met because this was a God thing, okay? It was like through the Mompreneur Nation, but like...
Right.
Because I met Tammy, and Tammy was like, I have this friend, and I really think that you guys would connect well. I'm like, okay.
And she was right. And she was right.
There are no words. We met once, and it was like meeting a part of my soul that had been missing. I'm like, why have we not known each other before this?
The world wasn't ready. That's why.
That's it, because I felt robbed. I felt like I've been robbed my entire life. Like, we have so many things in common.
Yes.
It's ridiculous.
Like, too many to name.
Like, let's go with that. Like, too many to name, but so very many. Anyway, we're actually going to list these things. Okay, first, we're both raised in, like, South Louisiana, private Christian schools.
Yeah.
What is July 27th? It's like, that's your anniversary or your mom's birthday or something?
July 9th is my anniversary.
No, that's it. July 9th. I'm going, my brain's going. July 10th is my anniversary.
Right.
That's it. Okay. Then we both have very light colored husbands. And
the Pinoranati. That's what we're going to call it.
Why don't you say it politically correct? Right. We got that. We're both raised basically being like, you know, the only ones. That's cool, though.
Main character energy. That's all it is.
Main character energy. That's 100% what it is. Either way, we both have groups. That's how you started with your groups, your Wine Wives
group. Yes, the Wine Wives. Right. Yes.
Okay, tell us about Wine Wives.
So Wine Wives started off, I moved back home to Louisiana, but not really home. I still needed enough space from my mom, enough to, you know, she's got to call me before she comes. So 2 hours, 2 hours. So we moved back home. So I didn't have friends here in this town. I live in Mandeville. And so I posted at like 11:30 at night, desperation. I am not a homebody. I'm an extrovert. So I typed up a little thing on one of those, you know, newbie groups. When groups were like a thing, like, you know, like the Facebook groups, they had like a whole trend where it was like 900 groups, still trying to get out of some of those. And I posted in one of those groups, kind of like a match.com profile write-up about myself. And I was like, I like wine and long walks on the lakefront. And if you would like to join me, and I was a part of a wine club back in Colorado. And I was like, I'd like, you know, is there something like that here that I could join? And I closed the computer and went to sleep. And the next morning I had like 200 posts. No, but can you start something? And so I was like, okay, niche, here we are. So we are. After that, like 2 or 3 days later, by then I had talked to enough new people that, I mean, people are super warm in Louisiana, as you know. So I was like, they were like, you're my new friend. I hadn't met, you know, and it's also the age of the internet.
Yeah.
We became friends over chat and all the things. And they were like, let's have an event. And so that brought forth the first Wine Wives event. And after that, we are now in 17 cities. And I literally peek in and show my face most days. Like, I'm just trying to, you know, keep my head above water here. But Wine Wives is thriving. It's a awesome. There's no sell there. No one pays for anything. We do girls trips and we have an event every month, but all cities are doing well.
That is so amazing. So you have somebody who's over each city, like a lead person in each city? Yes.
So each city has their own. I mean, I'm always going to be a Mandeville girl. So I run Mandeville still, but yes, a lot of Wine Wives here were transplants, just like I was. And so whether it's a job or their husband's job, so some of them have left and loved what they got out of Wine Wives here and started one somewhere else. So that's kind of how we started to break off into other cities.
I love it. Okay. So, Wine Wives, we'll put the information on the screen in case you want to join, because it's a really cool group. And it is, you get to see her face all the time, which is pretty fantastic. Speaking of seeing your face all the time, you go to New York. I'm just going to get this. This is what I've grasped from this situation, okay? Because I've been dying to ask you 100 questions. Okay. You go to New York for a trip with your mom, right? Y'all like on a birthday trip. You come back with a show.
I came back with a show.
That's all I got. Like, oh, I'm going to New York. Oh, by the way, I have a talk show. I'm going to need you to fill all that in.
I mean, seriously, that's kind of how it happened. So I do not watch daytime TV. I work at night, so I sleep during the day. But my mom loves her some talk shows. And so we share a birthday month. I'm an October 10th. She's an October 16th. And so I said, what do you want to do for your 60th birthday? And she said, I want to go to New York. Sure. So what do you want to do when you go to New York? I want to go on a talk show, like, tour. I was like, okay. Well, it turns out one company runs all of the talk show ticket systems. It's called IOTA. And so you put your name in, like, a lottery. And so I put my name in, like, 9 lotteries. I didn't know how it worked. And we got, like, 7 shows. And so I was like, all right, here's how this is going to go, Mona. We can go to 2. We can go to 2 or 3, and we'll see how we like it. Like, we'll schedule them, but I'm not making promises. So the first 2, not a fan. And I was like, if this is how it's going, we're not making 7, Mom. So the third show, Drew Barrymore. We walk in. It's pink, gray, gold, like all my Pinterest vibes. So I walk in. I was like, well, shoot, this is beautiful. And Drew walked out an hour before everyone else, like her crew, everybody, and she connected with each person in that room. And I thought that was super cool. Everything that you see on TV, she's that tenfold. And I was like, I want to be that person. Like, she connected with people. She tried to figure out why they were there, who they would, you know, what they were doing. And she had a conversation with John Stamos. And I can't wait for the day when I can tell her, like, you did this for me. So we're on her show, and, you know, she had given us like a little run through of what the show was going to be like. She said, John Stamos is going to be on, and we love him. And they had never met before, but she said, he's going on tour with the Beach Boys as a drummer, and we're going to talk about it. They had a little drum like set up in her studio for that. So he walks on, and Drew is known for not, you know, dealing with personal space very well. So she like hopped almost on his lap, and she's like, I just wanted to tell you, I'm so sorry about your best friend, Bob Saget. I know he passed away. How are you doing? And that just like started this whole conversation about how he loves differently. And, you know, he was like, Bob knew how much I loved him, but I feel like I didn't do our friendship, you know, the justice of telling him every day. And he brought letters from his mom, and he's crying and I'm crying and all the things are going on. Huge moment in my life. I don't know why, like light bulb. So he left off, and she said, she looked at the crowd, and she goes, so that was not my plan for today. She said, but that was why I created this show. That was why, she said, I know you guys see me as a celebrity. She said, but I'm a C-list celebrity. She said, people know me from E.T. and Charlie's Angels. She said, so whenever I said I wanted to start a talk show, people rolled their eyes at me, especially during COVID. And she said, but that was literally the reason why I did that. He obviously had something to say. I have never met this man before. And I wanted to create a space where he felt comfortable. I wanted to be, you know, the person that he sees that I care and he wants to have a genuine conversation with. She said, how big of a butthole would I have been if I said, hey, how are you doing? And he started talking. I said, okay, moving on, because we've got things to do.
Yeah.
And so I don't know. It was just super transformative how she, the words that she used in that kind of like piece, that monologue after the fact. And after that, I was like, you know, of course I was like crying and was like, get your life together. And so we walked out, and my mom looked at me and she's like, I know you've got something to say. What is it? I said, Mom, that's my dream job. That is my dream job. Connecting with people, figuring out why they do what they, you know, what makes them tick. And we went to a bar the next night. I feel like all of my stories start with in a bar, but I'm not an alcoholic. I feel like you create some great relationships in a bar. And I started to talk to the bartender. This my little cousin's the hostess at this place, and it's our birthday night, and she's like, you guys should come out. I'll get you set up at a great table. So she didn't tell me it was like the Wall Street bar, you know, super my type people, like clean cut, very tall businessman. So I sit at the bar and I order a French 75. Yes. Yes. My investors. Yes. So I sit at the bar and I order a French 75, which is my favorite drink. And also a tribute to my French 75, because I feel like it always connects me with somebody. So I order a French 75 and the guy next to me turned. He said, you're not from New York, are you? I was like, he said, no female is ordering a gin drink in New York. I was like, okay. He said, you must be from the South. And I am, and very proud. Yes, yes, yes. So we started to talk and he asked me what I was doing there. So he said, if that's your dream, go ahead and do it. And I was like, this is super New York of you. Like, you want a talk show? Go ahead and do it.
Why not?
It's like, I feel like we only do these things in LA or New York. Like, go have a talk show. So I was like, what do you mean? I was like, I just told you I live in Podunk, Louisiana. Like, what are we doing? And he said, with technology, you can do anything you want to do now. And I was like, okay, all right, who are you? And he said, well, I've been on Wall Street for 7 years. And I mean, he's like mid-50s. He said, I've been on Wall Street for 7 years. But prior to that, I was a network executive. And I would be happy to connect you with some of my old colleagues. And I was like, by golly.
What we doing?
And I'm pretty sure in that moment, like I looked around like, what is happening? And he said, Heavenly, I was supposed to go, and he got my name right. Like, I told it to him once, and after that, he got it right. And I respect people that do that, because you're, like, taking some, like, it takes effort if you have a complicated name for people to be like, I got it right. So he got my name right. He said, Kevin, I was supposed to go home an hour and a half ago. Here we are, 2 hours and 15 minutes later. And I was like, okay, you're keeping time? And he said, I'm into it. He said, I'm into you. He said, not romantically, like I have a wife and two kids at home. He said, but you're relatable, but like, he said, I can tell you're a little bougie, but not really. He said, you're fun. He said, and I want to learn everything about you in this little short time. He said, and that's something special that people pull in. And I was like, okay, so I didn't think I had skills, but here we are. And so I thought, this guy is BSing me. We exchanged phone numbers and emails. I went back to my mom. And we went to the Rachel Ray show the next day, which was also very good. And they make you turn off your phones. And the next day after that show, when I turned my phone back on, he had blown it up. He's like, hey, I talked to my colleagues. They're actually planning on a project and they think you might be a great fit. Can you meet me? And I was like, mom, this just turned into a business trip, mom. We might be able to write this off. So, you know, the way of the worlds, I think it's called the Loeb Boathouse. It's like infamous, Sex in the City, all the things. I had never heard of it, but he was like, meet me there 6 o'clock. And I was like, okay. So it's like 5. I figure we are like 0.4 miles away from it. It's 5 o'clock. I was like, let's get there early. We cannot get there. Donald Trump is in town, all of City Park, like every block, they're using like garbage trucks to like block off City Park. And I'm like, do something for me. Damn, God dog it. And like, we're taking all these different routes. And like, it's 5:50. I'm like, I'm going to be late. These people are like coming out on a limb for me. So we finally get there and the line is like around the building twice. In the middle of Central, I'm like, oh my gosh, like this is just not working out for me. Maybe it's not meant to be. So I call the guy and I said, hey, I don't know if you know this. I asked someone in line and this is actually the last day that this infamous boathouse is open. I don't know if you have a table, but like, I don't think we're going to be able to. He's like, go to the front of the line, say my name. I have a table.
Say less.
I don't know who you are, but I like you. Right.
Yes,
I'm pretty sure I said, period. Okay, bet. So I went to the front of the line and my mom and my best friend are with me as well. And so we're just hoping for like a little casual conversation. We get to this table and there are 4 other people, his old colleagues, and they pitched me the greatest idea for this show. And I'm like, sign me up. But like, let me talk to my attorney first. Because I don't want to sign my life away. I never read things. So I need for someone else to read them.
That part.
So, because I'm like, why? And, you know, I'm turning into, and we're going to talk about this imposter syndrome. I'm trying to transform into a person that's a why not me kind of person, instead of a why me person. Because, you know, I don't know if, and it's so weird to me. And I feel like you're the same type of personality. My mom, my dad, they think I'm like the greatest thing, you know, since sliced bread. Right. And so they have hyped me up since day one. But I still have this like little person inside of me that's like, no one wants
me. Why?
No one's going to celebrate me.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Why do people want me? And so to sit at this table where people have literally created a show in less than 24 hours about me. And, you know, I even talked them out of naming it with my name in it because I don't like my name. I'm working on that too. And so I even tried to talk them out of, and they're like, no, no, no. So they're like, Kevney, here's the thing. You know who's someone, and, you know, they're like, we don't want to pitch this as you're the token Black girl. But also, you had representation on TV when you were younger. Not a celebrity. Like, you know, there are people of color that are talk show hosts right now. But they were celebrities first. So they had an in into that.
Yeah.
But he's like, who is someone that had a complicated name that looked like you that seems super relatable? Her name is Oprah Winfrey. And you had apparently a personality that came off to Matt. You know, his name's Matthew. That came off to Matt that drew him to you. And we like that. And we want to meet you and see if we get that same connection with you. And I'm like, period. Okay.
I'm here.
I'm here. Kind of perked up a little bit, you know? And so the greatest thing about working with these people is they have truly, and again, every day, we have a meeting once a week, every Thursday. And I'm like, why do y'all like me again? You know, why me? Why'd y'all pick me? And I live in Louisiana. Like, you know, it's just, I feel like you could have had all these people. Why'd you choose me? And I'm getting to a point, we are 12 episodes in and it took me this long to get to a point where I'm like, why not me? I'm fun. Why not?
You are. To me, when you say things like that, like, I'm looking at you like, girl.
Because duh, right?
Like, of course it's going to be you. Of all the people, why wouldn't it be you? But it's true. Like, inside your mind, inside your head, for whatever reason, there's this doubt of like, why would someone celebrate me? Why? I don't know why it is. And I think, you know, like you said, we have very similar personalities. You know, we're both just like, kind of people. But like, if people who have more of an extrovert personality can have these feelings, I'll also look at people who are introverted. And I think how much more of a challenge it likely is for them to step up and for them to say, put themselves out there. It's hard to put yourself out there. It's difficult. You just,
no matter how old you are, it is.
It's
a battle every time.
And when we first started this, Mompreneur Nation, I was so excited about it. Did this wonderful photo shoot, did all the stuff for the launch. And then the day of the launch, I looked at that picture and I'm like, oh my God. And I immediately felt like, what if people see behind that and see me? Because I'm sitting there with my makeup on and I'm like, whatever. And I'm like, that's not me. I don't know why I feel that way. But I love how you talk about this a lot in your TikToks and how vulnerable you are about just saying, like, imposter syndrome.
And you know, I have, you know, I go through moments where I hype myself up. Like, I have these super highs and super lows when it comes to confidence. Like, either I'm overconfident or I really just don't have it in me. And I'm like, why, you know, I do the why me's and why'd they choose me. And I'm literally just this girl at the end of a cul-de-sac, like, you know, sitting on my floor, you know. So and the conversations that I've had with the Larson Group, who runs my show, we have these, you know, we've had several table conversations where it's like, Kevney, this whole show is about you and connecting, and somebody sees something in you here. Like, you've got to see it in yourself. So it's been therapeutic for me. You know, before every show, number one, I have a great crew of hype men that are, you know, I have my little nervous jitters right before, and they're like, we're all here for you. we believe in your mission, your journey. And, you know, I try to give a monologue before and at the end of the show about being kind to people. The whole point of my show, and I tell this to every audience, is that I want to be a vessel for people. I want to be the person that, you know, they have that guy, that girl that everybody dates before they get married. I want to be that girl.
Yeah.
I want to be the girl before that finds the hidden talent before, you know, especially here in the South. I feel like there's a lost love for us. Like, I'm like, you guys don't realize how great we are. We're like our own country here.
Yeah.
We're great. unhealthy, but great. We love good food, but we're great. And so I want to be a vessel for people. And I didn't realize how good that was for me, how good that made me feel, how much that boosted my confidence was seeing the moments like, you know, someone asked me, so I do like a Q&A mid-show, and we started vetting our questions because those things can get a little crazy. But
yeah.
Someone asked what my hidden talent was, and I don't have one. And it's funny, people are like, what do you mean you don't have a hidden talent? Because I didn't realize how transparent I am for people. People know literally everything about me. There are zero walls up here. And so if it's a talent that I have, you know, you know, I love good music. I can't sing or dance, but like I have a talent of finding good live music, you know, somewhere. But, and I know every song from every genre, pretty much 70s and up, which we'll get to. And so I don't have a hidden skill. And so I was like, I can't like, you know, bend my contort or do anything. Said, but I feel like my skill is connecting people. And it's not, the only reason it's hidden is because it's something that's not concrete. And I said, I'd like to think that that is my skill. I said, I try to connect people, connect the right dots for, you know, to see other people, you know, blossom. So the audience member kind of looked at me like, that's not what I was looking for. But I said, I didn't realize how much of a lost skill that is for people. It shouldn't be a talent. Mm-hmm. It should be a skill. And so, yeah, I'm just this little vessel on a talk show showing hidden talents of other people.
I think it's amazing. I love that. Also, you know, you touched on a little bit, but like the representation of it, right? Because we are in South Louisiana. You are in a community that's, you know, a little bit more small. And so it's important. I'm trying to be politically correct on this beautiful podcast, right? You know, it's important for people who look like us to stand up and to say, look, here we are, take our space and, you know, be able to be a vessel. Like you said, also, it's important for us as moms to our children,
you know,
to show.
That has been so big in my household. My kids come to every show, and every show after they give me a little rundown of what they liked and didn't like, you know, because be your own kids. But it's been big for my daughters, especially. Like they come with things that they've learned from the show, or Mom, I didn't know you did that. I didn't know you know, I didn't know you spoke about this or knew about this. And I'm like, yeah, girl. And so what I try to tell them each and every day, the world is your vessel. I try to be a vessel for people, but the world is your vessel. Take up space in it. The world is so big. So the little space, you know, in the big scheme of things, I take up a little bit of space, but in my world, I take up all the space. And so I'm like, take up all the space.
Do it.
Be as big as you feel you should be. And that's not even like a fame thing, a popularity thing. Until I feel like you can't be fulfilled until you're taking up as much space as you want to take up.
Yeah.
So if I was like, if you think of it as a spear, the whole sphere should be Addison or should be Harper, you know, and I have one who's very quiet and one who's just like me. So Addison's already taken up all the space, but, you know, like I said, I want to be that for them and it took me 34 years to figure out, not even just self-love, but self, you know, taking care of myself in order to be my best self. So people see me on the talk and Instagram what they see is living my best life. And it's really not a fake thing because I'm in the best place that I've ever been mentally, emotionally, all the things. But it's more, I'm self-care. So like I take, if it's a 2-day trip to the casino by myself, it's going to make me the best mother, wife, nurse, talk show host, everything that I can be. I go sit in a hotel room by myself sometimes and literally just, I talk all the time. I love to talk, but I talk to myself. And I learned this from a guy, and I'll send you the link to his stuff. His name's Akeem Robinson, and he is a kind of self-talk specialist. Yeah. And I interviewed him on my show, and he said, your self-talk is going to be the greatest conversation that you have with yourself.
Wow.
You're going to hold yourself accountable. You're going to also kind of talk about the things that you didn't want, that you don't want to talk about with other people. And you're going to take it seriously. So I go to that casino, I rent my room, and I talk. And I walk out a better person. I go be a better mother. I be a better nurse for my patients. I have enough of myself to give because I've already had that conversation with myself. I'm not through the day talking, you know, having these deep conversations and still trying to be a person for other people. Mm-hmm. So I walk out, wake up for the day ready to be accountable because I've already had a conversation with myself. I didn't realize that was a big deal, but it is.
Well, think about it. Think about it the other way around. Okay. A lot of the reason we hold ourselves back or we don't step out is because of the self-talk that we've done in our minds that in a negative way. The things that we've told ourselves in a negative way. Like, you can't do this. No one will want to listen to you. Why you over someone else? All of those things keep us held back. And it's ridiculous because it's only in our mind. Other people aren't.
Only in our minds. No one else is thinking that, I promise.
Nobody cares that much. You know, like nobody cares to sit up here and be like, oh, you're dumb. Nobody thinks that way. But it's in our mind.
No one thinks that
way. You reverse that and you start telling yourself the opposite, you know, and you start pumping yourself. I was made for this. You know, I can do this. God is with me. I've been created for this moment. And continue to tell you these things. Tell yourself these things. Imagine what you can do.
I'm looking at my notes. If you see me looking off camera.
No, you're
totally I write notes. I'm that girl.
I love that you wrote notes. I love that so much.
Well, so I did a talk on imposter syndrome to this women's empowerment group. And I don't have them with me because I left them in my car. And that's, I wrote notes, but I didn't prepare enough. So I have these affirmations. So throughout my life, I told you I went to this, you know, small Catholic school. Yeah, we went to like a leadership conference every summer. And each summer you had a paper bag with your name on it. And everyone from that conference wrote something nice about you, what they loved best about you. And do you know, I have kept every bag. And so when I graduated from high school and I became a basketball coach, I did that for my teams. In nursing school, we did like an affirmations card. I keep that in my visor. So I started pulling this out. And so I didn't realize I was doing like a little self-care, a little therapy, a little self-therapy throughout my life, trying to fight imposter syndrome. So when I started to get in my like deepest, darkest, like self-deprecating moments, I'd pour out those little paper bags with like, I kid you not, it's like ripped off pieces of paper. Like, you're beautiful. You're super funny. I love that you do this. You know, I pull those out and I read and, you know, I get this big smile on my face because it connects me in moments where I remember that people loved me first. People love me for a certain reason and it's not even about how people think of you. It's someone telling you what you should be telling yourself.
That part. That's it right there.
I'm still pulling out these, like, I kid you not, they are so beat up paper bags from 15, 17, 18 years ago still. That are telling me things that they tell me everything about myself, who I am now still, or what made me who, you know. So I totally believe in affirmations. And like I said, I believed in them and it was people telling me. But what I started doing in the last like 3 to 6 months, I've been doing affirmations for myself. And I saw this little girl on TikTok, Scarlett, and her mom, Tiana, makes her, you know, She's kind of like watering the seed within her daughter, who's a mixed kid. And she tells her,
while she does her hair,
she, you know, she gives her these affirmations to repeat. And I was like, oh, I don't know how I feel about it. And then I thought to myself, she's watering a seed that little girl is going to tell herself when she's an adult fighting some of these same, you know, kind of insecurities that I had insecurities that came out later in life. So, because until I was like 12, I thought I was the best thing since sliced bread. but these insecurities that came out later in life, she's going to have those moments from her mom, that self-talk, those affirmations, she's going to be able to just bring them right back. And I didn't realize that's what I was doing with that those paper bags full of, like I said, it's like super basic stuff, but stuff that made me feel good and also connected me with times that made me feel good. So I dump out my little paper bags and I start reading, and then I start telling that to myself, and I've got kind of like a little fuel until the next time. And when the next time comes up, pour those bags out again. So I didn't realize how big affirmations were until I had a talk. I did this talk at the Women's Empowerment thing, and I was like, oh, I'm going to bring these. And I was like, I didn't realize I was taking care of myself this whole time.
Yeah.
Self-talk.
Yeah. And as moms, you look back now, and I have the same kind of mom that's always just been like, you can do anything, and telling me all these kind of things my entire life. Biggest fan. And I'm so grateful for that. And even with that, you know, you still have your own self-doubt. And so I look back and I think there's so many people here now that I've met that have never had that, have not ever had like the parent that's right. like pumping them up. In fact, just the opposite, you know, in certain cases. So it's tougher for them, but it reminds me also how important it is to speak life and to speak those things into our children and to remind them every day. We drop them off at school every morning. Like, we pray over our kids and we're talking to them. My husband does before he leaves, before we get out the car, and remind him, hey, you're a leader, not a follower. You're bold. You know, God lives inside
you. I love your drop offs with Kinsley. Like, Katie and Kinsley are like, I'm like, look at it. I love you. You're the best.
You know, like, every single day, always trying to tell them that and remind them, because sometimes it's not easy. Like, I know our kids and your girls probably go through it too. They hear things, you know, there are certain things, and you know, because of who they are and maybe their skin tone, they hear a lot of creative things, right?
Creative. Yes.
Like that. I'm trying to keep it nice. You know, mm-hmm. they hear a lot of things. Some things are not so positive whatsoever.
Right.
And so, but I'm always trying to remind them. And I realized a few weeks ago, something happened at school, something that was said to my oldest child. And my husband and I were quickly like, well, you already know what we were about to do, you know, same thing you would do. Anyway, so we was ready. But my daughter was just like, oh my goodness, I don't think this. And that's not what that meant. And I realized in that moment that like, we have built her up and we have encouraged her and we have spoken so much life into her about who she is that she doesn't even realize
right
what other people are saying to her and how they're meaning it. Like,
how powerful is that? Right.
Yeah. She didn't even get it. You know,
we're about to like water.
Right. We're about to like scrap with like an 11-year-old and go to jail. But because what other option is there? You know what I mean?
Right.
Besides
right.
jail time. There is none. Anyway. She didn't even get it. She didn't understand it. And I was like, wow, we spoke so much life into her. She doesn't even understand. And I know our moms have done the same thing, because growing up in the same environment, like you, private Christian schools, which I'm thankful for.
Oh, grateful. Forever grateful.
Forever grateful for. Mm-hmm. Also, sometimes being the only, you know, or one of the onlys in a situation full of non-melanated joy can
I love you so much.
It can put things in your mind, you know.
Oh, yeah.
It can make you feel here as opposed to here, you know. And so I think a lot of my insecurity stuff maybe have stemmed from things like that, you know.
Yeah, you know, I tell my mom this all the time. I realized that she was trying to put me, you know, our parents always want better for us than them. Mm-hmm. Which we want the same for our kids. But my mom thought, and you know, we come from, our parents are from a generation where it was a big deal, like for them to go to an integrated school. And so they thought that they were putting me in a better situation. And I, you know, I do think that some good things came out of that because I never feel intimidated ever. That's one thing. I look, I'll give him that one. I never feel intimidated going to in a room of all white males. Cause you know, as a woman, we're a minority. So like, right. But being in the situation where I was always the minority, I'm never intimidated by anything. Like I never feel like, you know, I don't know if it was my mom or my dad, somebody always told me, not even a fake it till you make it, but always act like you belong.
Yes.
And it's not even an act. Feel like you belong wherever you
Understand
are.
Understand it. Understand that you belong.
Because if you're there, you're meant to be there.
Right.
So there's no fake there. So if you're, you know, someone used to, every once in a while you hear somebody be like, oh, fake it till you make it, girl. But if we're here, if let's say you're invited to an event and it's a bunch of, you know, celebrities or whatever, someone felt like you were, you know, important enough or something else to be invited to be there. So why should you feel any insecurity about why you're there?
Speak on it. That's it.
You're meant to be there. So there should never be an intimidation of, am I supposed to be here? No. You're meant to be here and take up the space, babe. Mm-hmm. I always like have this little vision of like spotlight on me. So like when I walk in, I not like a spotlight, like a celebrity or whatever. It's more of a spotlight. Like you're meant to be here. Take up space. Have important conversations with people. If you want to create something with somebody, tell them. There is no one that is too important to have a collaboration with.
No one.
No one.
No
one. So like when I tell you, so I have a talent manager, not for me, for my show. So she books the talent. She, you know, I send her things in the middle of the night. I'm like, Michelle, see if this person will come on my show. I like them. Like, you know, scrolling through TikTok or on Instagram or whatever. So I'm like, Michelle, email Britney Spears. And she's like, what? Tabby. I'm like, I want to talk to her about her book. Like, but I did not realize people are literally just an email or phone call away.
They
actually don't have people. You know, there are some people that are like, oh my God, you have to talk to my manager who also has to talk to my publicist. There are people that are like that, yes. But there are also people that are like you and I. And like, I have a talent manager, but you don't have to go through her to talk to me. Mm-hmm. Like my name's at the bottom of the web. My number, my email, everything's at the bottom of the website. And I feel like it always will be because I kind of like to go through things. So... Mm-hmm. There are people like that. And so we have reached out to some people and I'm like, oh my gosh, it's you. Wow. I'm like, yeah, that's the whole point. You have direct contact with me. I'm like, wow. So I didn't realize it's just asked. And it's about not being intimidated. You want to talk to Britney Spears and interview her about a book? Email her.
I mean, what's the worst she can say? No?
Hard to get to. What's that? Right. What's the worst that they can say? No.
Nope.
Or that you've got to go through 10 people to get to them. But there are people that do have direct contact to their stuff, no matter how big they get. And, you know, I've said that from the get-go. I'm like, you know, people will always have access to me because that is truly what I enjoy is having direct communication with people. Yeah. So I was like, you will never see me say, you've got to reach out to my publicist or my manager. And I found that to be the most frustrating thing. You know, someone will get a small following on a platform and they're like, talk to my publicist. It's like, no, that loses. I feel like you lose who you are and why people like you and relate to you, you know, because they can't have access to you. And I mean, yes, I feel like you have to protect your peace, but shoot me an email. Like, I'm terrible with communication and that's a character flaw that I'm working on. But that's how I am with everyone in my life. So it's not, you know, it's not anyone. The people that I love the most know that I'm going to answer a text in like 5 to 7 business days. And it's just because I don't sleep.
That part. Like, that's all you got on here. I sent you a text. I'm like, hey, guess what? You're like, yay. And it was a beautiful conversation. It was wonderful. I love it. It's so funny that we've like only met in person once.
At the Shake Shack.
Yeah, at the Shake Shack. You remember?
And in a car wash.
At the Shake Shack. Followed by a car wash. That was spectacular.
That was a good day.
That was, it was the best day. But I mean, we met online and then we talk. I'm so grateful. Like November 1st, it's thankful, grateful, niceness month for us.
It is.
November 1st, I am thankful for people and friendships that are just like virtual and text. I'm so grateful for it because I don't have the capacity or time to go hang out all the time. I just don't have it. But I always have time to sit and text in that 10 seconds I'm on the toilet before the kids come in. Like,
absolutely.
That's it.
It's only 10 seconds, too.
10 seconds before they
use the bathroom in peace. Just give me a minute.
One thing I ask of life, just let me pee in peace. That's it. That's it. I don't really care about anything else, but can I just pee in peace, please?
One day, friend. One day we will get it.
All right. So tell me, where are you going to be in the next 5 years? Where are we going? Speak it.
Well, I'm learning that the sky's the limit for Kevin. So in the next 5 years, I pray that I'm in the same mental and emotional place that I am. Because like I said, right now it is top tier. I am fulfilled in my life, my careers, you know. I feel like I'm doing some good in the world. So I'd say in the next 5 years, I do hope that every opportunity comes my way where I can touch somebody. You know, I truly believe that every interaction, I want people to be a better person because they've met me. So 5 years, I hope that I'm doing that on a larger scale because it's the best feeling in the world. And so that's all that I can hope and pray for. I don't have like specific goals because I don't know. Everything that has come my way in the last few years-ish has been opportunities that I didn't have in my goals. So we're just not going to...
existed or that could be a possibility.
Right. So we're going to keep our doors open. But in the next 5 years, hopefully, I pray that I'm in the same place, but doing things on a larger scale.
I love that.
Yeah.
I think when I went to college, I went to college for broadcast journalism. And my goal in life was to be a TV reporter, anchor, you know, whatever. And I really didn't think anything outside of that. Not until after, like, you hit that 10 centimeters and straight into that crown of fire that I was like, dang it. Hold up. I might have, you know, let me rethink about this. I don't ever want to be away from these kids, you know, ever. Yeah. And then all of a sudden it was like, let's think of doing something else. And really, 10 years ago, the whole thought of doing any kind of virtual online business wasn't even an option. So it's like just saying yes in moments and stepping up and just doing it and saying, okay.
I'm like quoting the housewives these days. I'm like, I'm Bethany Frankel in my place of yes, but I have not said no to any. I haven't said no to any opportunities in the last probably 2 years. And that's why I'm tired. But I'm so grateful for each and every one of them because I feel like I've grown. So. We're doing something to my, you know, to my inner gal. I feel like she's growing and I like that.
She is. Speaking of tired, what all are you doing? You got the show.
Oh God.
You're a nurse. You had a business too that you popped up. I saw that too.
Yes. So I am a nurse. I have a NP degree, but don't work as one. More because I love the flexibility of being a nurse. I can nurse as hard as I want 1 week and then not work as a nurse at all the next week. And I really, really like that. And I was travel nursing and I feel like I found a great place at St. Tammany that they let me be me. You know, I dressed up as an old lady for Halloween the other day as Maybelle because that's my alter ego now. And I dressed up as Maybelle and I got to work my shift as Maybelle and that was so fun. But they work with me on my schedule so that I can do all of the, I can't work the night before my show. Tried that once. That was a terrible idea. So, you know, they've adjusted my schedule so that I can do my show things. And I have work meetings on Thursdays. So I work a half shift and I have found a great place as a nurse that I'm probably not going to leave because it's stable income. And, I do that, but, I run the Wine Wives still. I do the talk show. I am a parent, try to be a great one. But you know, all of these things, this is probably the best, not just financial situation, but situation as far as time management goes, where I am able, I don't miss anything. And I used to miss quite a bit of things, you know, for my kids. And I was like, just stay with me on the grind, guys. Like, mom's just trying to give us a better life here. And, you know, so I used to travel nurse and be away from them. And I don't want to do anything else because I'm in such a great place where they don't know, you know, all of these things that I do during the day when they're at school. Mom's home when they're home.
Home. Yes. Yes.
And man, it feels so good. You know, the same time every day my kids walk in, and I have not always been able to be a part of that. And yeah. I don't take it for granted now. So yeah, prioritizing that. So as long as I can be home when they get home during the day, I'll run 10 businesses. And so, I guess, so outside of those jobs, I also, one of my really good friends and I are working on a self-development retreat that is also part of the show, my show. I don't know if I'm telling you that. I haven't told anybody that. But we've been working on this for like 2 months, and it's not till 2024. But it's about self-development as a female. It's a women's retreat, and so we'll do that twice a year, and I'm really excited about it because it's doing all the things that it's providing resources and connecting women and also offering some growth for them, you know.
Yeah.
Want to be that vessel. So, yeah, I guess that's all I'm doing.
I love that. I love all that. I love you say, like, it doesn't matter what I'm doing during the day. I just want to be home. That's what I tell my girls.
And not just home for my kids, home for my husband too. I like him.
Oh, remember that? Aren't we married? Right. Our husbands. They're great. They're wonderful.
Truly. Like MVPs.
They really are. Honestly. I love watching your interaction with your husband on TikTok and stuff. His lack of interaction is what makes that so amazing.
I told him, I was like, you literally married the complete opposite of you. Like, when they say opposite attract, like, Billy is so unenthused about anything except football and basketball. But
he's far more mature. Like, he's older. He's more mature. He's just like, I think something I laugh about even still is when our first and only date. We were talking about, like, how passionate we are. Again, put that nicely. Anyway, and you had mentioned about one of the times y'all had a disagreement and stuff, and you're just like, forget it. I'm just, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. That's me.
All the time.
It's this or it's
0 to 100. There is no in between. And it. Like, Billy is so even kill. He's zero all the time. Like, he's like, fine. Kev, it's fine. Everything is fine. I'm like, it's not fine. but I you have to have somebody like that though that grounds you. And you know, Billy is not surprised anymore by anything I don't know if he was surprised before, but he's gotten so used to me like coming home with something crazy. Like the other day, I'm like, hey, I gotta go to Ireland for 11 days to shoot a game show, I think. And he's like, oh wow, okay, we'll make it work. Hey I'm starting a talk show. Oh, wow. Okay. We'll be at everyone. Like, it's just like, he doesn't even say what next. Like, it's just like, okay. Okay. Yeah.
Okay. Okay.
We're here for it.
Yeah. That's cool. That's cool. And it's what you got to have. It's the support. It's the love and the support. And it's absolutely spectacular. I will ask you this, and this, I'm probably going to cut this and make this a separate talk show because this in itself is separate. But we got a few minutes to hit on this whole fun interracial marriage part, okay? Like, because this is fun. Talk to me about y'all's experiences and your...
Well, you know, it just hit me, like, day before yesterday, I shared a post about how long I've been a coach's wife. And I was like, oh my gosh, like, I mean, coach's wife / girlfriend. So when we started dating, it's been like 15 years of, you know, it started off super cute because I'd go to games and no one knew if I was there for a player. Like, they'd be like, who are you coming here to watch? And I'm like, oh, they're like, you look too young to have a son this old. I'm like, no. I'm here to watch the coach. And they're like, oh. Like, Billy's assistant coach at the time was black. And so they'd be like, oh, you're here to watch Marcus? No.
Billy. No, it's Billy.
Billy.
Bill.
Bill. Yep. Yeah. And so it started off, you know, super cute. We're like, oh, who are you here to watch? And then it just became, you know, and we've got the whole age gap as well. So people never know how it all happened. And so I'm like, guys, I did not marry sugar daddy. I am the breadwinner here. But we have experienced both things. Like we, you know, we started off dating in the South here in Louisiana, and we've had some terrible experiences and we've had some really good ones. So you just, you know, but then also we went to Colorado where South Colorado, where, you remember how we talked about the only, about being the only, only in town, baby. And so like, yeah. And so, you know, Billy went, he was like the golden boy there. So
yeah,
when he came back, it was a big deal, but they're like, so, you know, I'd be walking down the street and people are like, are you Billy Drew's wife? And I'm like, huh, how'd you know?
What was it that gave it away? What was it?
So, you know, I feel like we've grown so much as a couple. I don't even notice it anymore. I used to be hyper aware of everything going around, you know, going on around me and like the looks and the things that people say. But I'm like, watch us living our best life. And, you know, we used to go to this gym, unnamed. We used to go to this gym where, what's his name? I don't remember. The head of the KKK. But he was on the treadmill next to me and I didn't even know. And Billy took a picture and he texted me and he's like, Kev, look who's next to you. And I'm like, who's that?
Who's that?
He's like, Kev. And so then he like sent me the Google link and he's like, you might be too young for this. I didn't know who this is. And I actually did know who it was. I just didn't, you don't recognize people.
You didn't recognize, yeah.
In that space. And
head on or
I said, come over. Come over really quick and kiss me really quick. Like, let's make him sweat.
Why not?
Let's make him sweat. And so, of course, we stopped going to that gym. But, yeah, I don't know. I just feel like things are so different for us now. And, what's in within the last 5 to 10 years, even more since we have kids. I don't feel like we've tried to make it like it's not something, but we also have to be, I feel like it's a fragile conversation because you don't want your kids to ever feel like they can't date a certain race or.
Yep.
So, you know, we have a little girl came over to sleep last night because my kids are out of school in the LP. And, she was like, that's your mom? And I've met the kid like 3 times. And she asked Daddy, she's like, that's your mom? She's like, huh. And I sat, you know, I was driving. So like, I was listening. And I was like, yeah. And Addie's like, yeah, that's my mom. And you know what Addie's next sentence was? And I was so proud of her. She goes, she's a talk show host. Have you heard of her? And I was like, child, it hasn't aired yet, but so no one's heard of me. But she's like, is that why you're asking? Have you seen her on TikTok? And I'm like, no, she's asking because I'm black, Addison. I knew why she was asking. I mean, it's truly curiosity in kids that age, you know, but like little girl. And I made yesterday when we went to trick or treat at a friend's house. I actually told my friend Shannon, I said, that little girl might be my favorite friend because she's so unfiltered. And we're sitting in the car and she's like, can you play some rap? And I was like, is she asking me because I'm black or because it seems like I'm
fine? She really wants to hear it because I don't think that's what she listened to at home.
Like, so for, you know, icks and giggles, we're going to listen to some T-Swift first. But yeah, I'll play some rap in a second.
Let's ease them into it. Right?
Yeah, but I know, like I said, as an interracial couple, we have, of course, had some terrible, you know, things go on, but not just here in the South, also in the Midwest. So I feel like it's not a location thing. It's a humankind thing. And we're all trying to work on that, right?
Yeah. It's a humankind thing. I think my youngest daughter, she's always said like, because in our home, like we don't make it an issue. It's right. not a part of our everyday conversation. It's like special things if we need to talk about it, but it's yes. not, we don't put a focus on it because we don't want them to put a focus on it. Right.
Right.
So, but obviously we address it if it's needed. So our 6-year-old, she's just always said she was yellow like daddy, you know, and same. She's just, I'm yellow like daddy. I'm like, okay, that works, you know, and as she gets older, we will explain, but like, we've talked about it with our oldest, who is far more, you know, in tune because she's 11. And so
and she's mature, I feel like, too.
She's very mature. She is very yeah. mature. But like when she's asked things like, are you black? Are you white? Or if we have to fill out paperwork, I've watched her just click both. And I don't correct her. I'm just like.
Right. Because you are both. You're right.
You are
Liam's both. Written it now. In before.
Yeah. If you look at the Louisiana,
Liam's like, you know, I'm going to go ahead and change this. And can I have a conversation with whoever printed this out? Because this is not correct.
This is not correct. Because if you have a biracial person who is Mexican and white, they're just biracial. You know,
right.
If it's our kids, then they're just black. And that's fine because black is beautiful, wonderful, and all of the things, you know.
Period. Right.
Okay. Okay. Yeah. But our kids, as my oldest will say, she says, I'm the best of both worlds. I'm like, yes, you are.
Yes, you are. I tell mine, I'm like, you know, especially in the summer, because my kids get fairly dark in the summer. And for them, fairly dark for them, I should say.
Yeah, but for them.
I'm like, you realize people pay for this, right? We should never be, you know, I would love to say I'm a person that was, you know, teased about having a large tush her whole life, but I'm not. But
I was,
yeah, but but people pay for that, you know. And so I tell them the same thing about their skin. I'm like, guys, if you knew all of my friends that get spray tans, you know, on the weekly to bi-weekly, mm-hmm. whatever, you would not whine about your skin because it is gorgeous.
It's beautiful. It's wonderful. And again, it's all about the way that we build them up as moms yes. and what we tell them, because that's the narrative that they're going to hear at the end of the day. You know, what yes. mom said, what dad then validated, you know, that's their inner voice. And that's what they're going to go with. I mean, right. We've had very few interactions, which is shocking. I mean, there have been a few times where we go in a restaurant and people look, or the best is when we're in a restaurant and people come up at the end, or it's me and Trey, and they'll say, is it 2 tickets or 1?
Yes.
It's going to be 1.
It's amazing for me.
Like it's gonna be
one. Yeah. Oh, it's all the time. Are we on separate tickets?
Are we?
No. Do you not see all these kids?
One. It's one, and it goes to you. Yes, that's it.
Do you not see all these kids?
Do you not see these children? You know what I mean? Like we've been asked that. Or there was a time where we went to a Christmas event, and Trey and Kinsley walked ahead of us, and I had the other two, Zach and Katie, and they looked at me, and they greeted him. And offered him, you know, a seat, and we're like, would you like to sit here? Like, no, I would also like to sit with my husband,
right,
and my other child, if that's okay. And the look on her face, she quickly realized. But and I don't think that people are innately trying to be rude.
I know, and it's also a learning moment for them. Like, she'll never yes. do it again.
Yes, it is a culture, especially down here where you are not accustomed to seeing this, and it's not right. something that is normal that makes you think separately.
We and were on a flight. I will never forget this day. We were on a flight with baby Liam, and it was fairly empty. And so the flight attendant came up to us and he said, if you guys would like to split up, you can, so you're not stuck with somebody you don't know next to you. And I looked at him and I was like, husband, our child. And you know what he said? And I don't know how, like, it threw me off a little bit. I didn't know what I expected his reaction to be, but he said, okay, sis, pop off. I see you. And it was more of like, I see you, because he thought I had a sugar daddy.
If he's sugar just, daddy, somebody to tell me.
The age gap really did it for him. But I was like, sir, don't get me wrong, Billy's done some great things in his life, but school teacher, love it. This is all love here. It's not money.
It's all love, and that's all there is to it.
Switch your MLP too.
That, okay, you know, so take it down on that national average. That's why I'm working these jobs. Thank you.
Right.
Thank you. Sorry. Thank you.
No.
I love
but
it.
Yeah, so I don't know. Like I said, I have experiences like that where it's like, I hope it's learning lessons.
Are you there?
Because I'm like,
there you go.
Hope you don't do that again. Like, I actually handled it well. The next person might not.
It's all on how you take it.
You
it's
know.
All on how
you take or, it. Like, even things like the sports games. So, like, when we go to a sports game and somebody's like, oh, you can scoot over. We have an extra seat if you don't want to sit next to him. And I'm like, he's my husband. I want to sit next to him. Thank you.
We're not arguing today. We're happy. We want to sit next to each other.
Thank you, though. So kind.
Oh my gosh. So tell me, if you had two things to leave people with, what is it that you would want to leave people with?
Probably the first, because I hold it so close, is give yourself some grace. Give yourself some grace because you're meant for the greatest things in the world. God only created greatness. So you may not see what is so great about yourself, but you got to start searching for it early. Because once you figure it out, man, it's so good. And number two, like I said earlier, every interaction, human interaction that you have should change people for the better. So try to make people better people for having met you. You know, no matter what your interaction is, no matter, you know, why you're there, or what space you're in, always make people a better person for having met you so that they can say nice things at your funeral. True story.
It's so true. Because I think all the time I'm like, I don't want nobody to lie at my funeral.
Okay, so I want a living funeral because I really want to know what's going to go on. I don't like surprises.
Listen. I've been like trying to work with churches and do like church PR stuff or whatever. And I've told people before, we're going to have a funeral party. Okay. And this funeral party, and get this, okay, stick with me here, because like when you think about when you die, you know, it is hard for people who are close to you to know what you wanted, how you want it to happen, what you want that service to look like, all those things. Wouldn't it be easier if you had already planned that out?
It's already planned out on my end.
Yep. Plan it out. Be clear. This is what I want my funeral to look like. This is who I want to speak. This is how I want it to do. These are my scriptures.
There are no questions. I have my outfit picked out. Like, I don't wear it because I don't want it to be, like, dirty. Like, what if it's dirty? I mean, they could wash it. But I don't want any questions. So I have an outfit. I have and it also works with my weight fluctuation. So, like,
I don't know what I'm going to look like when I'm gone.
I have, here's who I want to do my hair. Here's who I want to do my makeup. Do not ruin this. I've told my best friend. I've told my husband. I told my backup best friend. Do not ruin this for me.
Yes, because it's how you end. It's not how you begin. It's not even wealth. It's how you
end. Yeah.
I can live this life that's like all this, and then I die and look like.
Like, you know, like you go to a funeral or a wake, and they're like, God, she looks bad. She's so bad. So like, I don't want people to say that about me. I want them to be like, oh my god, she looks so good.
She looks better than I've ever seen. Okay, she was she looked,
and I want them to have a good time. Like, I know I'm dead, so they're not gonna have the best time, but I want them to have a good time. Like, that was actually a really cool wig.
I want to look so good that you like want to take selfies with me in my casket. You know what I mean? Like I'm just laying there looking all, you know, Snow White-ish. And then you pull up next to my glass casket, because I do want a glass one. And you
take that selfie. What just happened? And I don't even want to use, like, you know how people use their favorite color? Don't use my favorite color. Do not use pink in vain. I want classy colors. I want navy and golds.
Yes, royalty. Yes, that looks rich, even though you got it at like the Target in the front where they do all the clearance.
We love a good Ross and Home Goods purchase, okay?
Yes. But I want it to look like you spent top-notch dollar in New York.
Right. And so now I do have plans for my funeral, and everyone knows what they are. And, you know, they are going to have to pull some strings to get juvenile too. But some of them are wild requests, but.
Oh my gosh. Nothing's too wild for you.
Nothing. No, no. And I need like Zia's. I need them to provide the corn grits.
You love corn grits?
Whoever created that. Thank you.
I don't even really care for that restaurant as much because I only really go to one. No, but like
corn grits. That's it. That's the only reason why I go.
I listen, J. Alexander's is basically the only place that I ever go. Like, it's my favorite. I don't want to waste money on anything else. But when I'm forced to go somewhere else, and I have been forced to go to Zia's, I have really enjoyed the corn grits.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. They were the corn grits at my wedding. Like, you had if I'm going in like that, they need to provide the corn grits at my funeral.
Please. I would like to have plans. Never mind.
But no, I want to do a living funeral because I want to know how it's going to go first. It's like a dry run.
Tell me. I want to see what you're going to say to me because obviously I may or may not hear what you say to me afterwards. But I want you to tell me how much you love me now. Like, we should host living funeral.
Living funeral. Say when. Like, I think it's the greatest idea ever because why should we wait to tell people how we feel about them?
This is a business idea right now. It's happening. Right now. Right now, absolutely.
You've got a church.
We'll be the host. Right. That's what I'm saying. We'll be the host. You have a real TV host. I'll sing a song.
Just they don't want me to sing. Look, I will MC the hell out of that funeral.
You be the MC.
Outside of the word hell, because we're not bringing hell in there. But... But yeah.
Yes. Hell no. Right?
No, and you know, there's a classy version of juvenile. So we don't even have to bring him there. We could do the quartet version of Back That Thing Up.
Listen, my husband knows, like, sometimes I'm in a bad mood. I mean, when does that happen? Anyway, those moments when it happens, and then I'll hear him like,
it literally changes you. Yeah,
and it's like everything starts moving. I'm not even trying to move it, and it's just every time.
I don't have anything to move back there, but
you try.
Honest work. It's the effort. It's work.
It's the effort that matters. It's the effort that matters.
Yeah, oh my gosh. I try to be a decent human being so that people have something nice to say at my funeral. Like, I want an auditorium full of people that have changed.
Yes. And wouldn't that be nice? Because that's what you have to leave behind, you know? You want the people to say, gosh, I'm better for knowing her.
Yeah. She made me a better person. I like her. Yeah.
She made me a better person. I want my kids to say the thing. I went to a funeral last year of one of our youth pastors. And my gosh, the way his daughters spoke about him. I mean, there is no higher gift. I mean, the way that they just, I knew that they adored him, but it was just the way that they spoke about him, the legacy that he left, the way that they continue now to live their life because of him. I'm like,
so I want to leave a legacy. Yeah.
Yeah. I want to leave a legacy. I want you to see me in my kids. It's like the highest thing, really. Okay. We could probably talk forever. Because
we could look, I told you, you're loosening me up for the day, so it was like the best start to my day
because you have a very big day ahead.
Yes, yes, I love you.
We won't say what it is, but
I love
I'm just gonna say I knew her when, and the only reason why I wanted you on this podcast is so I can like have this moment, so like in the next 5 years,
oh my gosh, like, but you know, and this is also. Very quickly, what I tell, so like we have picked up people for our show, like our crew, like we're like the band of misfits, but what it has been like the best like collaborations. And you know what I tell people all the time is if I'm going up to the top, wherever the top is, I feel like it's a invisible top, but wherever the top is, I'm not going and like people are lifting me up. Like we are all holding hands and rising together. I always have visions, you know? And like if somebody asked me kind of like, where would you see yourself in the next 5 years? Kind of like you did, but in a different way, more in like my show. And I said at the Met Gala, and it's only because I want a cool outfit. But I said, you know, I also have this vision of me being with like 10 people, like an entourage. But it's an entourage of people that not like they're my hairstylist and this and that. They are people with talents that I feel like they need to be there too. So like, yes. Matt, if you're inviting me, I need you to send me 10 tickets.
Because, yeah. Yeah. Also because I'm not who I am because of just me. I'm right. Who I am because I'm a host.
Of all these people.
Oh my right. Gosh. Host of all these people. Yes.
Yeah.
100%. 100%. So, I agree with you.
Don't keep this podcast because you knew me when. It's because you're going to be with me.
I am. That coming? Mm-hmm. We're all going up like a rising balloon. Yeah. Just grab onto it and just keep on going.
Yeah, absolutely. So
it's a metaphorical because I'm not grabbing onto a real one. Yes. That would suck. And then we'd be in that funeral sooner and I don't want to be at it soon.
No. Well, I told you, we're going to do this living funeral thing though because I would like it.
For anyone who is interested in our new living funeral business, please comment below. We will follow up.
We will host it.
You are talking directly to us, not anybody else.
No.
Not
direct agent. Contact here.
Direct contact.
I will host your funeral.
Yeah. And you can sit there and you can listen to how people talk about you.
Yeah, I like that a lot.
God, that's so genius. We're doing that.
Yeah, I feel like it's such a good idea. It's like in-person affirmations.
It is. It's just like your bags you talked about. Mm-hmm. It's just like your bags. And it would really encourage you to even live even stronger and even more bold in all the things. I love
it. Well, holla. I feel like that's the thing we should do.
It's going to happen.
I'll probably follow up on it at 2:00 in the morning. I'll shoot you a text.
There's this person and they want to talk about their funeral. Yep. And I will answer it 2 a.m. too. I'm more than likely awake.
Same. Coming out. I don't sleep, so. I'm always available.
What is sleep? What is that? I don't know.
For the week, I don't even know. Is what it is.
For the week, please. I'm going to sleep around this place. Anyway, this has been the best hour ever.
Same.
And I love talking to you, and I love you, and I just wish all the best things for you because you're freaking amazing.
Thank you, as are you.
I am truly better from knowing you. I really am. Really am. So
that's the goal.
That's the goal. You're doing it well. Thank you for being on our show. Thank you guys for watching. Aw, you're the best. Bye.
All the love. Bye.